is because you're a good, good God, and you have good, good news for each one of us. And Lord, it's because of your goodness that we can say it as well, not because of necessarily our circumstances or what's going on around us, but because there is one who is always good and that never changes. And so, Lord, we honor and praise you. Lord, we pray that you'd bless this time as we get to hear about what you're doing in other places and as we get to hear testimonies of your goodness. So thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, it's good to see everyone today. One thing is we're going to invite the kids to stay with us today. We're going to have some pictures going on, and there's going to be some neat testimonies. And so we just decided, hey, we just include the kids in on this. And so instead of going to children's church, they can hang out. We're going to hear testimonies about some of the work that's been going on in the Philippines and in Kenya here in just a few minutes. Just one thing that I want to say to you as a church is that I remember years and years ago of just thinking about kind of where God was taking our church. And I started praying and just saying as God, it would be so neat if we could be involved in missions in some other places where a percentage of our congregation could go and travel and be a part of some of what you're doing in other places in the world. And it's almost like God gave me this specific number as I said, God, it would be great if 20% of our congregation could go and have some kind of a mission trip experience. And then it's like God opened up these doors and people started going and traveling out from Big Timber and going to be a part of mission trips around the world. And every time we'd get to that close to that 20%, the church would grow, and we would get a little bit bigger. And now we have literally seen—I don't even know how many people we've had go from our own congregation, but we've seen hundreds of people go out from around Montana. I think at one time, this was a number of years ago, 3 years ago maybe, we counted up, and we had over 200 people from Montana that had gone to different parts of the world. And yesterday, just sitting at Sam and Victoria's wedding at the reception. And just seeing all of these young people that also have gone with Youth with a Mission. I mean, we've had at least 6 kids from our church family that have gone with Youth with a Mission, and they've gone all over the world. And then here just recently, we had a team in Kansas doing, did I get that right? Kansas or Kentucky? Kansas. Okay, Kansas, doing fencing projects. And then we had another team in the Philippines at the exact same time, and they're doing ministry in the Philippines, and then another team in Kenya, and they're doing ministry there. And I thought, this is so cool, is we are here, we're over there, and then we're way out there, and all at the same time. And it was just such a neat thing. And I say, well, why do we do this? And we do it because we're the sent people of God into the world. You know, Jesus, when he was meeting with his disciples after the resurrection, he's meeting with his disciple and says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And it's a wonderful picture that we have in the gospel because we have this picture of there being a sending God, that God sends his Son into the world to be our Savior. But then the Son says, in the same way that I was sent, I'm sending you. And in the very next verse, he says, and you'll have the Holy Spirit to go with you. You'll have the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's important for us to remember, why do we do this? Well, we do it because we have a God who loves us so much that he sends his Son into the world. And now we are sent also because of his love. And so we get to be the loving presence of God in other parts of the world. And we get to be a part of what God's doing in the rest of the church and other places, in the rest of the body of Christ. And in that process also, we get to share the gospel and see people come to Christ for the first time. Sometimes we just get to be a part of the growth process. And sometimes we actually are the ones that get ministered to. And that actually happens more often than not. And so it's a neat thing. And so this morning, we're going to just hear some testimonies about 2 of those trips, the Philippines and Kenya. And so I'm going to invite Kalina and Alan to come up first, and I'm going to interview them. So, all right. We have been doing ministry in the Philippines for quite a number of years. Danny and Ellen actually were the ones that introduced us to the ministry in the Philippines. They've been there, I think, since 1996, if I caught that right. Yeah, a little earlier than that. And so it's been a wonderful ministry. Alan and Kalina just got back from the Philippines just a little over a week ago, or right around a week ago, and had a wonderful time. But Alan, if you could just give us an update on the ministry there and what's been going on, and kind of give us a snapshot, a picture of that ministry.
Well, this is the fourth year of the feeding program. The first year we fed 43 children. The second year, 63 children. Last year, 93 children. And this year we were there the first day of school, which was June 5th. The team was ready to cook the food, and they were serving that very day. 106 children. So I said to the headmistress, Mom Ellen, we really need the most needy children, so if you could just go back and look again at your count. I know not all the kids are in school yet today. Some of them filtered in through the week. Come back with a different number. She came back with 106. So we will see. I was just thinking, Jehovah Jireh, if we were supposed to feed these children, and if there are more, they just need to find out. We'll feed them. If they need to eat, we'll feed them. But the elementary school, the kindergartners, they're just tiny little babies. And we were just looking at the weight I have of one little girl. She's 13 kilos, which is about 26 pounds. So she's pretty tiny, and they all look like that. And the first graders look like that, too. So, I don't know, we just need to know more about these newer students, the kindergarten and the first grade, to see who's the most needy. But we did something different. Rather than having Vicki, who is the coordinator there, go to Tagbilaran every week to buy food, it costs about 3,200 pesos for the month, which is about 78 bucks. A driver, a car, a couple snacks, because they are there after the feeding program, which ends at 2, so they have to have something to eat. I said, Vicki, let's just do one menu for the month and then just repeat it every month. And we're not going to post it because some kids don't like vegetables. So they, it's really weird. I mean, if you're hungry, don't you want to eat? I have a menu here. I just want to show you. There it is. I don't recognize all the food. Mom Ellen fixed this up for us. But we'll just post it. Yeah, but we just do it every month. It is delicious food and fruits and fruits twice a month and meat, fruits twice a week and meat twice a week at least, and always rice. So we will be weighing the kids three times a year, and I will send out a letter to the sponsors to do that. And we just keep an eye on their weight. Their weights, of course, were down because over the summer, I don't know what they ate because they don't have a lot of food. So we will see how that goes. It was fantastic just getting it started that very day.
And you know, some people may not know why we took on this idea of a feeding program in the first place. Can you give us just a little snapshot of why we do this?
I might cry.
No, we'll try not to make you cry.
We were there about 4 or 5 years ago. The teachers always treat us like royalty. They cook the food. They bring it in from their own homes to treat any of us that are there on the mission for a lunch. And I mentioned to that particular school administrator, Mom Evelyn, the children are all playing. We're having lunch. Are they having their lunch? She goes, no, not everyone's eating, Ellen. I'm telling you, the food stuck right here. And I blinked back the tears. I didn't want them to see me crying. I had to do something. We have a feeding program.
Yeah, is a number of the kids actually didn't have food for lunch.
They didn't. At all. They would just be there. And the school starts at 8 in the morning, and they're there till 4 or 5. And many of them would try to go home at lunch and find something. They'd race around the barrio looking for food. They may not come back. Since we started the feeding program, the teachers say the attendance is up, the attention span is up, the grades are up, the kids are doing better. And wouldn't you? If you didn't have lunch all day or food all day, you wouldn't do well either. So,
yeah.
And I would like to say thank you for the donations that were given. We were able to buy a tiny chest freezer and then a cooler that's about this tall to put the food in. So Vicki can go down and shop once a week for the meat and freeze it for the month. And then she can just shop locally in Lobok or Luwai for the fruits and vegetables and save all that time going to Tagbilaran. It's a nightmare. The island is expanding. And I mentioned this in the grocery store has expanded. It's three stories. They push the walls out. The grocery store, I don't even know how to find anything. It's worse than Walmart. It's 54 lanes of checkout. And I waited 20 to 25 minutes twice. It is worse than Walmart on steroids. Yeah. You just don't want to go. So
we all got a great picture of that.
And I was telling
totally
Brian,
understand.
I should have remembered to go to the senior line because they have little benches you can sit on as a senior while you're waiting. Forgot.
Now, Kalina is a sponsor. She's mm-hmm. been sponsoring a child. For how many years have you been sponsoring a child?
It's about 3.5 to 4 years.
Okay, and so this was Kalina's second trip, right? And so give us a little bit of a picture from your perspective of the feeding program, and then just tell us a little bit about what it's like to be a sponsor.
The feeding program, the last time we went and this time, we would go in the morning, we would talk with the cooks, help prepare the food, help set it out, help the kids come in. This time around, because Ellen was so busy, I ended up taking most of the pictures of all of the children. And then on the last school day that we were there, I helped get the weights. Yeah. So it's busy. The room is actually almost too small for the number of kids now, because they'll let out the younger ones first, and they'll kind of go through and eat. And then they'll let out the older ones, and they'll come in and eat. And so there's not enough room for all of the kids to be in there at once.
Yeah.
And then as far as being a sponsor, I've sponsored two girls. One I had was Sunday. She has now graduated and is on, so I took on another little girl this year. But my other girl is kind of the one who's a little more special to my heart. Her name is Elmira. She comes from a broken family. When I first found out about her, on the little note that they had with her picture, it said that Elmira and her brother Nap sometimes are not welcomed at home, and so they sleep in the jungle or with other families. And we found out that at that point they had a grandma who might be willing to help take care of them, so we were looking into that. And at one point, when we asked to have the children come up to the house so we could Skype with them and talk with them, when one of the ladies went to pick them up, their mother said, "Take them, I don't want them, don't bring them back." And so it's like, oh my goodness. Here's a mother who is remarried, and she suddenly doesn't want her two children. What can I do to help? And in some ways, there's not much you can do because you're all the way over here. We did get them set up with their grandma for a while, but then their grandma ended up moving away. And so they're back with mom. And I don't trust mother anymore. You know, I don't trust her. She at least pretended and acted like this time she might be starting to care. I don't know. She's now going into their high school, and so I wanted to make sure she stays in high school to get an education, because if not, she will end up probably as a NEPA weaver, making less than, you talked with one of the NEPA weavers, and she made, what, $25 a month?
Maybe.
That's pushing it, yeah.
And so I don't want her to end up with that life simply because she has a rotten home life. So I am paying for all of her educational needs. I'm working through a long and NDI down there to make sure she gets the money and that she stays in school and kind of to keep up with what's going on with her.
Yeah, and unfortunately there's too many stories like that. But just, Ellen, you know, there's all of these stories, and some aren't quite as dramatic as that. Some is just malnutrition. Which is still a significant thing, but when you add malnutrition to tough home life, what kind of a difference is this making in the lives of kids because sponsors are committing to this kind of thing?
When we started this program, the teachers were able to report to us an increase in attendance, kids staying at school, not going home looking for lunch or food or anything. They would stay at school. The increased attendance, increased attention span, and their grades went up. They're in school from 8 till 4, the little ones, I think 4, and the others, rather 3, and then the other ones at 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. I don't know. I'm not quite there at the end of school day. So it's too long to be in school in that heat with no food. It makes a difference, and all of you have made the difference because you give. It wouldn't happen if you weren't giving. There's a generous pot of money waiting to feed these kids, and so it's all because of you guys. Your dollars are not going to waste. Every dime goes to the care of these children, and we thank you.
And it really is amazing. That program is fully funded for this year, as far as I can understand. Mm-hmm. Jay, do I got that right? It's fully funded right now. So it's really neat. You know, we have the feeding program, but every once in a while we come across other needs, and there were a couple of medical needs that came up. Now, through our history there, there's been other times where we provided wheelchairs, and there were some pictures of there in there of wheelchairs that were provided through the ministry.
Yes,
one right there.
Yes, this is the siblings. Yes, they have a little sorry store, little things hanging up. They're selling little packets of coffee and sugar, and I don't know what is up. And they were happy to see us. We brought them rice. And we went to see Patricia, the lady with no legs. And she was sitting in the door waiting for us and gave us a big smile and a big kiss. She was so happy to see us. It's so, you just bend down to just kiss and hug her. It's really sweet. I noticed in her house an interesting story that the CR, the comfort room, the little toilet that Dave Groff built for her, there was a blue sack in the toilet. I thought, there's Patricia. Patricia, are you not using your toilet? She goes, yes, but I put that sack there because the mice and the snakes and the frogs come up, or the rats, the snakes, and the frogs come up through her toilet. I'm not a plumber. I don't know how to fix that. But
the things you deal with in the jungle.
I know. The siblings are doing fine. One of the two girls, we call them the little angels, one of them died this past spring. Yeah. They don't really know why she died. The girl you saw in the wheelchair, she was the sister, and she was kind of sad about that. But that little girl is home with the Lord and just walking pure and whole.
And then there were two young children that had major medical needs. Tell us just a little bit about those two so that we can pray for them.
There's one little boy. He's 11 years old now. His name is D.G. John. And he has what's called tetralogy of Fallot, four major things wrong with his heart. He should have had surgery as an infant. He needs it now. His time is running out. His father carries him to and from school. He doesn't have the oxygen to handle walking up the stairs to school or anything. He's a dear boy. Another one is Mary Faye, which we saw sitting in the window. She has lupus, and she quit school a few years back. She would love to go to school. Her father left the family last year, four kids and a mother trying to support these kids. It's just awful. We heard about an organization in Tagbilaran. I never knew about it all these years. It's called Tuchi. It's started by a female Taiwanese monk, and this work is being done all over the world for free. D.G. John, if he's chosen, can go to Manila with his mother, where the nuns run basically a Ronald McDonald's house for free food and lodging. And they would take care of everything. And then Mary Faye would go back to Cebu because they don't like the laboratories in our island. They're not as accurate for the tests she needs. They would take care of everything, all for free. Please pray those kids into that program. If they're chosen, it means thousands and thousands of dollars of free care. There's the little girl who lost her sister. It's a hard situation. Anyway, please pray these kids, these D.G. John and Mary Faye, and then Knapp, the brother of Elmira. He isn't coming to school. He promised he would. We bought him all this stuff, and he didn't show up for 6 days, and we're only starting the third week. He doesn't have a future if he doesn't go, and he just breaks our heart. So please pray. There's Elmira, Kalina's sponsor girl.
So we just have a couple of minutes left. Is that I saw a video of about 12 kids sitting around a table that have been growing up in this barrio over these numbers of years. Tell us a little bit about just the impact of these kids growing up and hearing about Jesus and what's going on with them.
This church and the surrounding areas have supported these kids in this church that was started in our barrio for years. And now they've grown up to be young men and women, spirit-filled. I couldn't believe it. Wasn't that an amazing service? The song service was led by the daughter of Along. She's 18 now. It was fantastic singing. It would just lift your heart. And the prayers in between, I didn't understand what she was saying. She was speaking Visayan, but it was unbelievable. And then another kid, Marlon, who's grown up, he's now studying engineering. He's head of the Sunday school, the youth. He's youth pastor. They are unbelievable leaders, and we did a video. Sadly, there was too much background noise from the younger kids in the other room, so we couldn't hear it, but there was a part where Marlon turned toward your camera, and he said, "Thank you, Montana on a Mission, for all you've done through the years for us," and it's all of you. It truly is. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts and their hearts. They have a future because you gave, and that's just not empty words. It is the truth.
And there are now students from the barrio that are working around the world. Literally, there are some that are working around the world because of sponsors that helped get them an education and just pour into their lives. But even more significantly is there so many of them that first put their faith in Christ is there in the barrio through the Christian Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And a number of them said that they were baptized, at different times. And so it's neat, neat work. And so how would the two of you have us pray? Kalina, how would you have us pray for the ministry going on there?
How'd you pray prayerfully? I guess to remember that the Lord is there as much as he is here. That was one of the things I kind of had to learn down there, because watching everything and going, there's so many needs, but then the last Sunday God kind of nudged me and I kind of realized something I had known all along. He's here. He's there as much as he's here, and he can do his work there. And so pray for the young people that they will rise up and continue to take leadership and be able to lead those who are younger than them and even those who are older than them, that these young kids would be able to raise up their families and the surrounding community and raise them to the Lord, and not just for profits or for benefit, but that they would grow in the Lord.
Yeah. And Alan, how would you have us pray?
Well, I did ask you to pray for Knapp, the brother of Almira. This kid needs a future. Nobody loves him. And for D.G. John, that he can get that heart surgery, and that Mary Faye can have help for her lupus. She's also having trouble with her eyes. But what I tell you, when we ask you to pray, it's not a flippant request. It is the truth. I mean, there's a couple situations in Kenya where it was definitely the Lord. For us, if you go and you spend the time and the money to go, you don't want to lay in bed sick. Satan is out to get us all. He doesn't want us there. He doesn't want effective ministry. My son and daughter-in-law are there now with a group. My daughter-in-law was so sick the week before she went. They thought she was going to have surgery. It was Satan. The doctors didn't know what was wrong. For us, we needed a lot of prayer in this trip. There was an incident. We were leaving to come back in our airport in Tagbilaran. We finally, after 4 hours of waiting, taxied down the runway. The pilot put on the thing to take off, put on the thrust, and slammed on the brakes about 40 feet ahead of us. We all went like this. He turned around and went back to the airport and gave it another shot at takeoff. There wasn't enough air spree. We had enough, a friend up in the, Mark J. is in the tower.
Oh, great.
For you who know Mark J., he's up in the tower now. There wasn't enough, there wasn't enough air thrust or throttle or knots or something. It's no light request when we say pray for people out on these fields. They really need it. Satan just wants to do everything to make it difficult and to thwart the efforts for the Lord. So don't forget to pray.
There's lots of spiritual resistance.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we're going to have the Kenya team come, but I'm actually going to invite the kids from the Kenya team to come first. Last time I started with the adults, and I'm going to have Yancey and Kyle finish it off. But so if all of the students that went to Kenya would come up. So I kind of feel like is that I got to kind of put the spotlight on you guys a little bit more, and one gal, give you the opportunity to just share a little bit more. So here's what I'd love for you to share with us is share with us kind of a real aha moment or a real kind of a move of God. Now, here's one of the things that I know that we didn't get to share in the first service is I know that every single one of you got to share at most of the meetings and at the church services. And so I want to know what that's like. And I want to know the kinds of things that you said when you were in the spotlight there in Kenya at the meetings or at the church services. And so who's going to start? Lindy, you going to start?
Sharing sharing with them, it was kind of scary because, I don't know, that's their home and you don't want to offend them in any way. Like, not that you would on purpose, but, like, accidentally say something that they would take wrong. But I just said, like, and we all actually said, like, thank you for having us and thank you for being so welcoming, because they treated us like royalty the whole time, and it was kind of hard because you didn't want to be considered like more human than they were, because we're all equally human, but they don't treat you like they're
equals.
Yeah. But yeah, we all just thanked them for the blessing that they were in our lives and the time that they gave us and how kind they were.
Perfect. Someone else.
So, like Lindy said, they treated us like awesome, and so when we were up in front of the church and stuff, we thanked them for their hospitality and their warm welcome. They just had so much love, and we just thanked them for that.
Yeah, pretty much what Lindy said is we'd thank them for being welcoming and everything. But it was really interesting because we always had a translator with us, and we would say something in English and wait a couple of seconds, then they would say that in Swahili or Ma. But the first church we went to, I think they had four languages going at once. Because they'd say something in Swahili and Ma, and then they'd say it in English in some other language. I had no idea what it was.
So it was kind of eye-opening?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Kevin, what was your perception of all of that, and what was it like to be up in front of group after group after group? Because I assume that this happened at least daily, something like that?
Yeah, pretty much every community we visited, we would have a community meeting where we would be introduced to them. And pretty much.
Perfect.
You know, they said, and it's a really neat experience being in their churches and even just working with them. You see that they have kind of like an extra passion for God and just living out for him. So.
And so, Keegan, you can share something about that if you want to, but then if you share something about that, then go right into telling us about what the average day looked like.
Okay, so like the first meeting that we went to, so it was kind of scary talking to all the people and stuff because you didn't want to offend them, but as we progressed through the trip, it wasn't that hard anymore because kind of got used to talking to everybody and thanking them for their hospitality and stuff. And it was just really cool to see how many people would show up to those meetings for the projects that we were working on and stuff. So, yeah.
So tell us about the capes.
Okay, so this is a shuka. It's not a cape, but...
Looks like a cape to me.
So basically, they're just like a... kind of like a tablecloth, actually. But they wear them to keep the sun off of them during the day. And then at night, they usually wrap them around and like wrap themselves in it so to keep warm. For the most part, the men usually wear one kind of like this and like this and like Caleb's. And then occasionally they wear these too, but the women tended to wear these a few more times than that.
Good job, Kevin. You're...
Again.
We know a man when they're willing to.
But yeah, it was crazy. We never saw anybody like without one of these for the most part. It was cool.
Neat. Okay. Go ahead, Wyatt.
Got to keep in mind in the mornings it's only like, I don't know, 60 or 70 degrees and they're freezing cold. And whenever they'd get on their bike, they'd have like 6 ski jackets on to ride their bike. And it's still scorching us, and they're sitting there freezing.
So Wyatt, since you have the mic, tell us, you guys got the opportunity to sometimes do a little bit of ministry or to share some things. What kind of things did you do, maybe at the church or things like that?
Actually, at most of the meetings in the churches that we went to, this group here, we would do a skit for just about everybody who we were around.
Okay. And so what kind of a skit? Tell us, like, was it a Bible story skit?
It was the Good Samaritan.
All right.
We would do that, and it was fun.
All right. Sounds good. So some aha moments is kind of like a moment. And, you know, you could also tell us you know, there was a huge preparation process with all of this. Is was it what you expected? And then when you got there, was there an aha moment or a God moment where you just said, is you know, that is really neat, and I'm going to remember that. Anyone? Go ahead, Lindy.
We had prepared a lot. Well, not a lot, but we'd been told to be prepared to answer questions like, why do you believe what you believe and stuff? But they, I don't know if all of them were Christians, but they all showed so much love to us, and like the churches were, it wasn't like the same focus as the churches here, but they are all so still like spiritually filled, and that was really cool. An aha moment for me, they gave us all Maasai names, and mine is Namayana, and that means blessed one, but they gave it to me telling me it means blessed one, not because I'm blessed because I live in America, but because God will bless us for the work that we're doing for them. And that was just really cool to me.
Sweet. I hadn't even heard that yet. Thanks, Caleb, for telling me all about that. No. So, Caleb, go ahead.
So we all kind of got Maasai names. Maybe we could go around and share them in a minute. But like some of these pictures up here, like they're, the reason we went was because, well, to create relationships with the people. And there was a school, it didn't really have water, and so we were digging a trench to get water to the school because the teachers were having trouble getting drinking water to their students. And yeah, it was awesome, and we had lots of fun. And want to share our Maasai names?
The water that they were drinking too was more like mud than water.
Yeah.
Like they'd have a water bottle that they'd had for a really long time, and they'd keep using it and using it and using it, but it was not clear by any means. It was very murky and pretty disgusting, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone else, an aha moment, something.
Share them some names?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine is, it's kind of hard to say. Mine is Olasarian, which means the protected one. And I'm not really sure why I got that name, but I'm cool with the protected one.
Awesome. So. Awesome.
It's funny how I got mine, and it doesn't make too much sense. I was talking to this guy, he's like, do you have a Maasai name yet? I'm like, no, I don't. He's like, oh, okay, I'll give you one. So what's your favorite hobby to do? I like snowboarding. He's like, okay, I'll call you Kaitike. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, snowboarder. Okay. I go with that.
I got mine at the same time as Lindy. We were digging a trench with one of the families there, and a couple guys came by. And so mine is Lamayan, which means blessed. So it's pretty much the same.
All right.
Mine was Sadala. A couple of the guys gave it to me while I was digging with them, and it means playful one.
That's cool. Was there any other kind of those big moments, or just that time where you just felt like is that hey, I'm so glad that I did this, or where you felt like is God spoke? Anyone can share. And
so, probably the biggest sign of God's protection was one day, about like 10 days into the trip. We had just kind of gone through a really long day, and the people there wanted us to attend one more community meeting. None of us wanted to go. We were all really tired, but they insisted, and we all went. The meeting lasted about 20, 30 minutes. We get back to the camp, and we find out that a giant...
very large.
Giant acacia tree had smashed Caleb and my tent. So just came flat down on it, completely crushed it. So, and it had happened about 20 minutes before we got back. So if we hadn't gone to that meeting, we probably wouldn't be here. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that you guys would share? Anyone else? Go ahead, Keegan.
I think the coolest part for most all of us while we were there was probably meeting the kids and the teachers at the school. They were so so happy to see us when we came up and when we met all of them. It was just super cool to see because we'd go back to the school because that's where we were keeping pipe for the pipeline. And as soon as you turn the corner to go walk in the door, immediately like 20 or 30 of them come running out of the door to greet you, and you have like 10 of them trying to hold your hand at the same time. So that was, it was so cool. They have so much love. And I think we can all agree that the kids were just awesome.
Let me have Kyle and Yancey come up also. We switched it around just a little bit. Go ahead, Wyatt. You can share while they're...
I'm going to add something about the tree is... that day after the tree fell, one of the people who were maintaining the tents and everything, really awesome guy, he did the worship service. His name is Kefir. He came up to us and he tells us that night before the tree fell, he had a dream of Kevin and Caleb walking away from their tent with their backpacks and everything. And he was wondering why. And turns out that's why.
Yeah. I'm going to have Kyle share first. Is Kyle, you know, you have been training, a part of training this team for months and months and months, and then you had the experience there. Is for you, is kind of what were some of those big moments, and then, you know, kind of give us just a picture of the trip.
Yeah, it's interesting because talking about this, it was like we would have these life-changing aha moments in the morning, and then by the time you went to bed, you'd completely forgotten because there were so many other things that happened, and it was just like putting your mouth around a fire hose and then trying to hang on for dear life. It was really fun. But the probably some of the biggest aha moments, I think, for me, just came throughout the whole trip in this idea that we live such a comfortable life, and we get so wrapped up in what we like to call first world problems. And we were reading through James while we were over there, and I don't think the word rich has ever struck me as hard there as it did. And James is not nice to rich people. If you've ever read that book, it hurts a little bit to be called rich. And I've never really thought of that before and really applied it to the point where it's like, man, there is... After being here and experiencing this, these people are so, for the most part, like just content with life. They work hard. They are resourceful with what they have. And here we are complaining about whatever. And it just struck me that, man, God has called us to something really big here. And the work that Montana on a Mission is doing is amazing. I'm not saying this to pat ourselves on the back, but I didn't see anybody else out there that was, I used to see a lot of half-finished projects and broken down things and all this, but the work that this organization is doing and that you all are a part of is making such a huge difference because it's empowering a community. It's not charity, it's jobs, and it's empowering, and they own this, and this is theirs, and then they get to give it and use it, and the we would walk in and the cows, you know, you see some pictures of these wells that they've dug and with the solar panels, and just the livestock was healthier, the people were healthier, and then they were excited about this opportunity to share this with everybody, and it's because it's a work that, man, we're not taking credit for, we're just being faithful to what God's called us to. And you heard a lot, water is life. And man, we got to share the gospel message so many times just through that touch, you know, that this isn't us, this is God and how he provides and how he gives. And so it's just kind of that burden of knowledge. Like we can't just ignore the fact that we are blessed in a huge way. Even some of our, you know, if we just don't understand, but we've been blessed, and there's a burden, a good burden that comes with that, to say, okay, God, what can you do with all this? Even I'll share a quick story. So we were going down. We were going to do some songs with the kids, which we did. It was super fun. Like they were singing like "Yes, Lord" and jumping all over and this little item. It was really fun. But we wanted to take this guitar down, but we were like, I don't really want to bring it back. Like, we prayed about it, and we were going to take this guitar that the Lutheran Church had donated, But we're like, I really feel like God has something for this. And so we don't know what. We're just going to pray about it. The Reed Point Church, when they heard about it, bought this really nice case and strings and picks, which the picks in of itself, guitar picks, there was a guy that plays music every night. Just Denny should sing some of his songs sometime. They're really funny. But he was playing, and I was just talking to him, and he showed me his guitar, and his pick was all broken up. So I went and got four or five picks, and he said he'd been using the same guitar pick for 7 years because you can't find guitar picks. And I was like, first world problems. I mean, we complain about the silliest things. But this guy, Keffer, who you've heard about, he was cleaning our tents, just the sweetest, nicest spirit. And we went to his worship service. I'm telling you, I've never experienced such a, I mean, it was just amazing. And all of us left going, I think that's the guy, because he did music for it. And we were able to, at the end of the trip, just bless him with this guitar that he's going to use for God's kingdom and his purposes. And, you know, the guitar he was using was falling apart. And just the fact that he was there while we were there. He was leaving the day we left, actually. And God orchestrated all this stuff, and there's so much work that went on behind the scenes, and we built so many awesome relationships, but God did amazing things throughout the entire trip. But I don't know. I just fire hosed back at you. But there's a lot of good stuff, and just that burden of knowing and being responsible for what God's blessed us with. Yeah. And I will say, I was so proud to be part of this and this church and this body, and I wish we could all just fill a bus and drive over there, because that would be a lot easier than 3 days. But I wish you could see like the amount of impact that this church has. And thank you so much for, man, just being faithful to what God's called us to and asked us to. So
yeah. Yancey's been there a couple of times. Yancey does a lot of the background work with our well development and things like that. And so, Yancey, give us a little bit of a picture of the work that's been done over time and the difference that it's been making. And then kind of how can we be praying? How can we continue to be involved?
So Montana Mission has been involved in the Kenya Water Projects for a couple of years now. I just want to start thanking all you guys for the donations and the support, just the prayer support even, that you guys, you really make a difference in the organization as a church and as a church body. In James 3:11-12, it says, "Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water." And I think that's huge for over there. I'm sure you guys have heard some of these statistics already, but the average well in Kenya, about 50% of them come up dry when they drill them. And of the ones that hit water, a portion of those are salty water that they can't even utilize the water. So I think that's a testament to God. And the three wells that we have drilled are all producing massive quantities of water, and they're all clean water. And it was just awesome to see that clean water coming out of those wells this year. One of the things over there, Repoy Spring was a spring that we developed about a year ago. They've been suffering a pretty serious drought, so that well has actually dried, or that spring has actually dried up at this point. So I would just ask that you guys pray for that, that God would bring the rains back and that water table would come back up so that spring is producing water again. The people that were getting water from that are now having to walk 3 to 5 miles just to go get water every day. So, I mean, it's a huge blessing to have that water in their area, and it hurts them to not have it. Another thing, like Kyle said, we did our devotions every morning in James, and every morning we would get up and do our devotions, and there was something in there that just had a great impact on what we were doing there and just really solidified everything. In James 4, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Therefore submit to God, be resistant to the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." I think that's what I want to ask you guys to pray for. We were working, the chief came one night and talked to us, which is the chief of the kind of the community right there. He's an older gentleman. He's been the chief of the community for a really long time. And we said, when we go back, what what do you want us to ask people and to tell people? And he said, just be advocates for us. He said, you guys are doing great work here. You keep coming back. You keep developing more springs. You're helping more and more people. And that's what he wants. He just said, keep being advocates. And so I just ask that you pray for the people. David and Julius are two of the Montana Mission, or they work for Montana Mission kind of as managers in the area. Just pray for them. They're both godly men. They just show the love of God every day to the people there. So that they're kind of the hands and feet when we aren't there. So just pray that God continues to use the people and especially that when we do prayerfully enter into a process of deciding where to drill a well, that God just keeps putting the right people in position, that we keep getting clean water and keep supplying people with water.
Yeah.
And I think, too, another prayer request is that God's will, that we could just continue to do this and that it would spark something there, too, because Mary was telling me that I think it was half of the kids actually die by the age of 5 from dirty water. So it's not just... we're not just fixing murky water. You know, like half of them die by the age of 5. And with clean water, that statistic gets cut in half. And with hygiene training, it gets cut in half again.
Yeah.
So these two things, it's water is life. Like, it's not just we're here creating convenience. Like, God is really providing life. And we can just keep praying that God will continue to work in this way over there and just be with these people. So Keegan had one.
Go ahead, Keegan.
I'd just like to thank everybody again for all your contributions to our mission and to Montana on a Mission as a whole. It really means a lot for us and for all these people that we help. So thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right. So, no, it really is. It's making a difference. I know the hygiene training, Mary and Alan did some hygiene training, and literally afterwards they saw a drop in visits to the clinic there, the health clinic there. It makes a huge difference. You're a part of it. You're literally saving lives. You're literally saving lives. So it's a big deal. Thank you. Just as a pastor, you cannot believe how proud I am to be a part of this kind of stuff with all of you. To see a church that's willing to step outside of themselves and to be the sent people of God into the world, because that's actually what the Bible tells us to be, is the Bible tells us to be the sent people of God into the world. And so I want to invite you to stand with me, because here's the cool thing, is because we are the sent people of God into the world, we actually are going to get sent out right now. And you know, occasionally we get to go to Kenya or the Philippines or Kansas, which is a little bit more local. Occasionally we get to do that, but we get to go out into our community every single day as the sent people of God. See, we gather together on Sundays to worship together and to be encouraged by His word. And then we scatter together to be His sent people everywhere. First and foremost, right here in our community, in our workplaces, in our homes, and in our families. Do not minimize that. Is that you have a calling from God. Because Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you, and I give you the Holy Spirit. And He empowers us and strengthens us. Accept your calling. Every single one of us is a missionary. Every single one of us are the hands and feet of God. So may the Lord God bless you as you become His sent people in our community, in our state, and in our nation, and to the whole world. Take your calling seriously. Because when you commit your life to Christ, you are His sent people to a very needy world. Father and Lord God, I just pray that you would just, Lord, that you just take this and that every single one of us would recognize that you want to use each and every one of us in our family situations and in our community, in our workplaces, in our region, and in the world. And Lord, we want the glory to go to you, but thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for letting us see what you're doing everywhere. And Lord, we just want more and more of your work to be done. And Lord, we want more and more people to know Jesus. We want more people to be saved from just the hurts of life. And Lord, ultimately, we all just want to live under your care. And so, Lord, would you bless this day as we go out to be your people in our community and in our world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Take a moment to shake a hand with someone. Hey, we do have to stack all of the chairs in the sanctuary, and so we know that many of you need to go ahead and head out to the various places, but those that can stay and help stack chairs and move them back into the back, that would be awesome.